Maybe that's why, because of him. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Or a dude do at Hooters anyway. Just be like, it has to be a cook, right? They can't do anything else.
Yeah, it's got to be like, back of house. I don't know. They're not putting on those outfits, I'll tell you that much.
Are you sure? Maybe
I mean, you
there's
know.
some Hooters locations that are like that.
I mean, currently there are zero Hooters locations, so I don't think anyone's
Yeah,
doing a
that's
lot of
very
anything.
fair. They're not
Yeah. Their niche went out the window like 12 years ago.
not
Like, there's better wings everywhere.
I know you can get better wings delivered like to your house now. You don't have to go out.
You can get better wings arguably at a gas station now.
That's very fair.
So there was a lot of what I'm saying is there was a lot of competition in the wing market.
But not the boobs market. Well, I guess the internet won that one, so.
Yeah. Blame 1999 for that dot-com. But
Jesus.
anyway,
Welcome to Dry
that's a
Fans
different.
Hockey.
Yeah,
Where we talk about boobs and chicken wings. Anything but
that's
hockey.
yeah that. I feel like that should have been like the intro to like the NFL countdown, like 12 hours ago, or this week six. We got wings and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, hockey season's back, and I am ecstatic.
Yeah,
But not as
what?
ecstatic as that guy getting an NHL player's autograph on a milk carton.
Was that a
That guy
thing like
was
back
so.
in?
Was
We'll
that?
post a we'll post a video to the link in our
Yeah. Yeah, that you need some context. That guy was if that guy was ecstatic, I don't know. He was so thrilled and depressed at the same time. I don't know what he was doing.
Well, I mean, but I want to know like the milk carton thing. Is that a thing like that for NHL players, or is that like, because I know they put missing people on the milk carton, but I never knew they did like.
I mean, the guy said he had it since like 1982, so like who knows? I mean, that was social media back in 1982. There was no Instagram. It was milk carton because everyone drank milk. So that's how they got the word out.
That's very
Think
fair.
about it. The milk carton was the original Amber Alert. Now there's an Amber Alert. We put it out in that and everyone gets it like the forecast. But again, different podcast. So
Fair enough, fair enough.
yeah.
All right, well, let's start this one out with a little bit of news. Coming
Woo.
out today, it looks like longtime former NHL enforcer Donald Brasher, who last played in 2009, 2010 with the New York Rangers, is back in pro hockey at 53 in Newfoundland. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I saw something come across that he re-signed to play in like a Canadian professional league out there. Good for him. I mean, look, there's tons of leagues, and if you want to play, I mean, he made an off he got an opportunity, and he made the most of it. Kudos to him. I mean.
I mean, does he really want to come back? He was like slashed in the head with a skate, right? Or
Donald
something?
Brashear has his own. They could do an own like documentary on that guy.
Really?
It's got a, yeah. He's had a lot of things happen during his career. Big time fighter, big time, enforcer. So, tons of stories there. But yeah, I guess. I mean, look, you're passionate about something and you're getting an opportunity to do it again. You're gonna take it.
That is very fair.
So kudos to him.
Touche. All right. Well, welcome
Yeah.
back to hockey. All
Yeah.
right. Let us start. The Canadians had their Thanksgiving, so it's very exciting for them this hockey weekend. However, for us in the United States, what surprised you most about week one now that we are firmly in week two?
Yeah, week one, the thing that I was looking at, I noticed like how, excuse me, Florida was going to react losing two of their best players, one for the whole season, the other for half the season, and 3 games, 3 wins, tight games. They were pretty close, but yeah, they're just rocking and rolling. Like not it just they just next man up, turn the page, and like it's just like nothing happened, which is crazy. familiar faces. I mean, Brad Marchand got 2 goals in 3 games. Anton Lundell, who I feel is going to be the person to take the biggest step at, with the absence of Barkov. Very similar games, very almost patterned games. So I could see him taking that next step.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this team is just dialed in already. It's like, all right, let's, you know, they got 70 something games to get to the playoffs. Like they're already ready to go. Like it's pretty crazy. That was a big surprise. I thought there'd be a little bit more. I don't know. I just didn't think they would be this dialed in already.
Yeah.
That's a big one. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of the West. I think the West, the Central is going to be Murderer's Row. Honestly, aside from Utah, aside from Chicago, rather, like you can pick 5 teams out of that Central to make the playoffs. It's a deep, deep run, and I feel like as bad as Nashville was last year, I got to watch them play one of the games this week, and they're a different team than they were last year. I think they've worked out the growing pains and look for them to be a big time disruptor in that division. And they're looking pretty good. And then in Pacific, you know, Seattle, they're starting off pretty strong. They got 2 wins. I feel like that's a team that, you know, showed promise a few years ago, took a step back last year, and, you know, that's going to be a tough one to go through. I don't feel like you could say Vegas, Edmonton, LA this year. I think, you know, you're going to see Vancouver, you're going to see, you know, Seattle be competitive. And then, you know, and then the other shock that I saw was freaking Tampa Bay starting off 0-2.
Yeah, what the hell happened there?
The first game was pretty close. Ottawa's a strong team. Back and forth game. They ended up losing late in the third. And then yesterday's game against New Jersey, they started off down 3 in the first. They ended up losing 5-3. So they did, you know, play stronger as the game went on. But 2 games, 2 losses, 7 goals. They're scoring okay, but when you're not, they're giving up a bunch. They gave up 10 in 2 games, so they need to right the ship, get the cobwebs off. I mean, they were undefeated in the preseason, so I was expecting them to kind of carry that right into the regular season. But we'll see there. And then no surprises in Carolina being undefeated. I mean, this team is just built very well.
Taylor
Hall scoring goals, Logan Stanhoven getting done, in Jarvis, I believe, where he's got 3 goals in 2 games. So, like, he's on his normal, you know, can he go 3 years in a row, 30-plus goals? I think absolutely. That was about it. I mean, and then Boston 3-0. I mean, that was a surprise. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that carries on. But, you know, we'll see. Those are my surprises.
Fair enough. Well, I want to point out one thing that I noticed that was very interesting, and it's kind of a two-pronged thing. Canucks, you know, let's go to one of our favorite teams to talk about, Vancouver. Didn't do so well yesterday, but it was against the Oilers. They did go 5-1 against, Calgary Flames in Vancouver on Thursday. And Brandon Coutts is 18 years old and he's making his NHL debut.
Yeah.
5-1 win, although he did not have a shot on goal in his 10 minutes of ice time. First of all, hey, those new jerseys look awesome. So let's just put that out there. But secondly, that's insane. He's the youngest guy to start for an NHL team, right?
Would have to look at the days, because 18, there's a few guys that have started that are 18.
Okay.
But yeah, but I mean, it's different from other sports because you can go right from juniors right into the pros. I mean, Matthew Schaefer's at 18 it started. But yeah, I mean, he's the youngest you could be to be in the league. And he was a first-round draft pick this year. and made the team out of training camp. So kudos to him. You know, sometimes players play a few years in college. Some players go back to the minors, like the juniors or the minors, to get a little bit more development.
Mm-hmm.
So they come in with a little bit more of that polish. But, yeah, I mean, kudos to him. I mean, stepping in right away, I think that's great for Vancouver to see. They got that, you know, the new faces there. I mean, they got a couple guys. Also, like, Antu Raante, who made the team out of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
He's someone to watch as well. He's played a little bit more, but, you know, yeah, Vancouver's got a nice little team. I've said it a few times. Like, they're going to be better than expected.
I think so. It's crazy. Like, that, you know, after last season's dumpster fire, I believe we said on multiple occasions, this is,
yeah,
this is a big turnaround for them. And I'm kind of impressed and happy. And I'm excited to see what they do this season.
Yeah, I think that they just needed to get out of their own way. Distractions have been kind of hampered down.
Yeah.
And the only, as long as they play well and they do good, it's all the reason for Quinn Hughes to stay.
Fair.
If they go and implode, like I said, his brothers are both going to be in New Jersey for 5+ years. So, he's got 2 years left in his contract, and he's an unrestricted free agent, so he doesn't even have to negotiate with Vancouver if he doesn't want to. So we'll see. But, I mean, they play well. He sticks around, hands down. So that's where we're at with that. And I also have him on my fantasy team. So you better put up some points. I took him kind of early.
Amazing. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, let's go through a couple of these games that are coming up this week. First of all, before we go through and get your predictions for the week, at least for tomorrow, because tomorrow we have a lot of games.
Yeah, tomorrow is a big day.
What games are you most looking forward to? What's your game to watch?
Game to watch, I think I like the Tampa-Boston game. Does Tampa finally get a win?
Mm-hmm.
I like the Toronto-Detroit. I think that's going to be a really good game. And I think the LA-Minnesota at 8 o'clock, I think that's another nice game as well. Two teams that were in the playoffs last year, two teams that really need to, you know, they have a lot of history. The Fiala trade, Brock Faber, a lot of history there. And to see the $17 million man, Kirill Kaprizov, is always fun. I mean, I think they played two or three games. You already got 6 points. Like, you know, good for them. And then LA, I mean, we got 1 year left of Mr. Anze Kopitar. This is his farewell tour. The more you could watch him, you know, how great is that? He only got 80 games left, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, those are the games that I'd like. I mean, other games that are probably going to be entertaining, obviously Florida, Philly, anytime you can see Florida, New Jersey, Columbus, they put up a bunch of points in their last games. Vancouver, St. Louis, I like Vancouver. St. Louis has got a great team, but I think that that's a good matchup there. And then a lot of young guys, a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. That Utah, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I watched the Nashville Utah game yesterday, and it was a pretty good game. They got a lot of good young players. I mean, you know, they got guys like Logan Cooley and Dylan Gunther. Utah just got JJ Paterka. They have their captain, Clayton Keller, is really good. They're a good team. So, you know, get those West Coast games in when you can, and especially, it's nice that it's starting at 8:30 versus 10:30. So,
yeah, early. You know, thank God.
It's because of Columbus Day.
Oh, all right. Fair.
Yeah, on Columbus Day, they start games at like 12 o'clock.
Interesting. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, last year I went to the Devils Utah Hockey Club, not Utah Mammoth, last year on Columbus Day.
Fair enough.
It was a 12 o'clock game.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was good times. Mm-hmm. I was home by like 4. It was great. Sun was still out.
Beautiful. All right, let's go through the games tomorrow. Give me your picks for winners. Let's go sure. Colorado and Buffalo.
Colorado.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. There's no – the Buffalo, they're a few years away from being mediocre. So wish them the best.
Fair enough.
I mean, Josh Norris got hurt again. I mean, that guy is made out of misfortune because as talented as he is, he always gets hurt, which is sad.
Yeah, fair enough.
But,
Nashville and Ottawa, Senators, Predators.
Oof. It's a good matchup. I think Ottawa is a better team, but yeah. I think it's going to be close. But I think it's going to be, Ottawa. You can't knock Ottawa. They got Shane Pinto, who in his fifth full season already got 4 goals, had a career high in points last year. Like, dude's playing really well. And, you know, just wait until the other guys start get going on that team. And then, you know, you got a lot of guys, a lot of young guys who could score. Just makes that team even more dangerous as a playoff team last year, just building off of the successes they had.
Fair enough. I mean, they are coming off a loss to the Panthers, although Nashville's only played 1 game. So they might have an advantage there. But you're going to pick the Predators or are you picking the Senators? Sorry.
I'm picking the Senators. I think the Predators are a better team than they were last year. Gotcha,
but not good enough.
It's going to be a tough game. I mean, I think Ottawa is a very dialed-in team. I like what they're showing so far. I mean, they beat up on, you know, they beat Tampa, mm-hmm. very strong team. They're putting up points, and they got a lot of good players, a lot of young players who can score. So I'll give the edge to Ottawa.
Very good, very good. All right, let's move on to Detroit Red Wings and Toronto Maple Leafs.
I'm gonna go Toronto. I like. I watched a little bit of their first game. I like what I saw. I think you're never going to replace a Mitch Marner, but I think they did pretty good at bringing in guys that can complement the other superstars on that team. And I think they're looking pretty good. I know Detroit's got a really solid team, but I just feel like there's always missing something, and I can't put my finger on what it is.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, there's I always want to root for them. I like them. I like Dylan Larkin. I like Patrick Kane. You know, they got really good players. I just feel like they're always missing something. And there's just that they need that one thing to get them over the hump.
Interesting. All right. I mean, it's Devils, Blue Jackets. Let's try not to be biased here, being from New Jersey.
Yeah. It's a coin flip. I'll go Columbus. I like Fantilli. I like Ken Johnson. I think this team is good. Zach Werenski is a phenomenal offensive defenseman. I'm just going to root for them. They're the hometown team. You know, just give them the nod.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Los Angeles Kings and Minnesota Wild.
I am going to go with LA.
Really?
I was high on them last year. Their third line, I thought, was always great. I wish they would have kept Gavrikov. I wish they didn't trade Jordan Spence. But with that said, you know, I think they're a really strong team. Their top line is one of the best lines out there with Kopitar, Kempe, Kuzmetsov. I think that's a really good line, and a full year of them is going to be exciting. And we cannot mention LA without mentioning last year's player to watch, Kevin Fiala, already had as a goal in his first game, power play goal.
Fair.
So can he get 36 this year, beat his all-time high of last year? I don't want to take credit for him turning his season around, but I think we were his catalyst. His unspoken catalyst from going from 15 to 35 goals.
Fair enough.
So
friend of the show, Kevin Fiala is yes, but do you think like Kaprizov is having an amazing start to his season, or 2 goals already in 2 games? Like, can they get around that?
Yeah, I think
2 goals and 4 assists. Jeez.
I know. It's I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not. I mean, like, it's not like, oh yeah, like that. Minnesota's a good team. They're a fun team to watch. They got a lot of guys that complement each other on that team. You got, you know, guys like Joel Eriksson-Ek, you know, Matt Boldy, who may be a USA Olympian. He was on the Four Nations roster. They got the Swiss. They got Marco Rossi. You know, you got a bunch of guys, Hartman, Foligno. It's a good team. They're a solid meats and potato team who happen to have one of the most explosive players in the league with Kaprizov. And he's going to be amazing for them.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I give the edge. I think there's a little bit more there's a little bit more depth, a little bit more polish on the LA side. And that's where the edge comes in, because it's, you know, got to roll the four lines.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Tampa Bay and Boston. Will Tampa Bay get their first win against the Bruins, who cleaned house last year?
Yeah. Boston gave everyone but the seats in the arena. they were trying to trade them, I heard, but they couldn't get anyone to meet the trade. Tampa, love Tampa. I think they're a great team. I think they're the team I would pick to come out of the division, and they need to get the ball rolling, and it starts with Boston.
Fair enough. All right. Winnipeg and the Islanders. Islanders not off to a good start.
They're not, and I don't think it's going to get any better with Winnipeg rolling into town. Winnipeg is a very solid team. They have their big guy, Kyle Connor, locked in, big contract. You know, he it's one of those players that if he played in any other market, he's like a household name.
Mm-hmm.
But being in Winnipeg, and if you're not a big hockey fan, you don't realize how special this player is. Super happy he got the big deal, the $12 million a year, well-deserved. Guy is a consistently 40-goal scorer, and he's already got 3 in 2 games. So he's doing what he does what he does. And I don't think New York could really match up with the Jets' offense there.
Fair. I think, yeah, the New York Islanders really seem like it's Kyle Palmieri, and he's pretty much carrying them so far not very well.
Yeah, they have exciting young players coming up. They got Matthew Schaefer, first-round pick, made the team at a training camp, scored a goal in a second game. There's a lot of things to be excited about if you're an Islanders fan. They have a lot of young talent. They got some good veteran players. They just need to kind of find the gel to make it work. So it's one of those teams, if Anders Lee, Bo Horvath, you know, Kyle Palmieri, Matt Barzal, Anthony Duclair, they all find that rhythm. They're going to be a fun team to watch. They're going to put up some points. But, you know, it's just that's where it lies. If they don't find that rhythm, it's going to be a real rough season.
Fair.
So, you know, I think Schaefer's going to be really good. I watched his highlights. I like what I see. Obviously, it's a small sample size of like 2 games. But, you know, I'm rooting for him. And he's someone to watch, like a rookie to watch.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Well, this one, less hard to make a pick. Florida Panthers, Philadelphia Flyers.
Philly all day.
Oh, really? Oh, shit.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's premature. it's Florida. I think Florida's a team to beat until proved otherwise. You know, I don't think Philly's got they're competitive. I just think Florida's just that much better. Like they're gonna take that one.
Yeah, fair enough. They you know, it's very funny to me that there's a lot of, I'm looking at stats now for these teams over the course of the first 3 games, and the Panthers literally have 4 players with 3 points already. 6 players with 2. Like, you know, they are ready to go. And they are proving it, and they want that hat trick.
Yeah. Yeah, they want, they're going to, and, you know, I don't see a lot of teams getting in their way. So I think, you know, I think it's going to be a fun one.
Fair enough. All right. St. Louis and Vancouver.
I'm just gonna ride the Canuck train, baby. Let's go.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's get our Canadian pride going.
For those playing the home game, Anthony has just put on his Canucks hat.
You know, I'm ready to go. So when you drive the Ants baseball, I got my Blue Jays hat ready to go. We're doing it. They just happen to be hats that I've worn recently, and they're just on the side of my computer. But it played well.
And it also works. They're having a really good start to their year.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Success.
All right.
I really like this one because of the green. That's one of the main reasons I got the Vancouver hat. It's like, yeah.
All right, last but not least, Utah Mammoth and Chicago Blackhawks. Well, probably is least because not much action there.
I'm going to go with Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. Look, they're young. They got a lot of good young players. And part about becoming competitive is going through the bumps and bruises. And they're going to be a team that's going to have a lot of growing pains this year, but they got so many good young players where I feel like they're going to be fun to watch. I mean, Frank Nazar, who's on a big contract in the offseason. This is Connor Bedard's third year, so his contract is up after this year. You know, he's got 2 goals in 3 games. They got guys like Teuvo Teravainen, who's won a Stanley Cup with them years ago, came back. This is his second year back. They got some good players. They got a bunch of young defensemen, a lot of first round picks on this roster. And, you know, let's see what happens. Let's roll the dice. I mean, you have nothing to lose. You could just develop players and just get better and just have this team dialed in for the years to come. I did hear that there might be looking to move Lucas Reichel, a former first-round pick a few years ago. Hasn't really worked out too well. He's only played in 1 game. He's only played 6 minutes. So there is the rumor that you know, they may be looking to part ways. Young guy, 23 years old. You know, he's played 2 full seasons. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, this team's got a lot of young first-round picks. So anything is possible. And, you know, maybe he's just someone who just needs to break out. I mean, you know, he's a speedster. He's on the fourth line a lot. You know, you got to find an opportunity to get in the top six. And Chicago's got a lot of veterans in that top six that eat up a lot of those minutes. So sometimes it's just hard to find that ice time.
You know, it's very interesting. Chicago is currently 8th in their division, but the stats on their team don't seem to back that up. You know, you have Frank Nazar with 5 points, Teuvo Teravainen with 4, Connor Bedard with 3, and then, like, they have some consistent performances. It's just not been good enough. What's going on there?
They play tight, man. They're a team that plays on the razor's edge.
Mm-hmm.
They played Florida really tight. They lost, you know, in the third. They're going to play teams really strong. It's just they need to finish games out. That's where they're at. That's what I was saying. Like, they're not a bad team. They got enough veteran players where they have a good blend. It's just they have to close games out. You don't win games playing 2 periods. If they did, this team would be a playoff team. They got to finish the game. They got to, you know, find a way to win games because they have the talent.
Yeah.
I like Frank Nazar. I think he's going to be the guy to watch on this team. Him and Bedard are going to light it up this year for them. They're going to be the guys. And, you know, they're got a great supporting cast. They brought in 2-time Stanley Cup champion Andre Burakovsky to help out. They got guys like Tyler Bertuzzi, like Teuvo Teravainen, and they got guys, and they have a good captain in Nick Foligno. So it's like they're not destitute. They have a path. It's just when you're that young and you have a lot of players under like 22, 23, like things are gonna happen. And then, you know, they re-signed Ryan Donato, who had a career year. They signed Matt Grzelcyk, veteran defenseman, to help on that decor. Like, they're in pretty decent shape. Like, I'm Like, they're going to steal a lot of games. So,
all right.
And just look for like Connor Bedard. I mean, he's going to, they're going to basically take him off the chain, just shoot the puck. His offseason was phenomenal. Like, the amount of training he did, the amount of like mass he put on that could be a bigger frame. You know, watch out for him. I think he's definitely going to have another 20 plus goal. He's going to, I would love to see him at 30 goals this year. You know, he had 23 last year, 22 in his rookie year, 67 points last year. And, you know, who's to say he can't be a point per game player this year? I'm with it. You know, that's what I have to say about that.
Fair enough. Okay.
Now, let's get those points.
Good Lord. All right. that's all I had for the previews. I had one main story. Anything else you want to talk about before we move to the feature, so to speak?
Not so much. I mean, I'm just really excited that the season's here. I think there's going to be a lot of breakout players, a lot of players, young players to watch, you know, new players on new teams. And, you know, it's just the start of the season. It's exciting. It's, you know, we waited all summer for this and now it's finally here. So, yeah.
All right. Here we go. So, this has been circulating the news lately. They're talking about expansion for the NHL again. And I know we touched on this briefly last year, but it's becoming more, you know, like I think Houston being kind of the first city that, like, you know, is like, hey, we want an NHL team. And it's been a matter of time. But Gary Bettman has basically listed, you know, last month, three pieces of criteria to evaluate an expansion bid: ownership, market, and arena. And we can talk about Houston specifically. I don't have it, but that was just kind of like the new. They need to build a new stadium, do all that stuff. Who do you think? A, if the next that we've had, you know, two franchises in the last few years that have had expansions, I'd be 2021 and 2024, right? Seattle and Utah as the lightest markets.
Yeah, those are the last two. Then before that was Vegas. So yeah, there's been. You know, there's been some in the last decade, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, Houston's popped up a bunch. Going back to Arizona has been talked about, and going back to Atlanta.
Okay, yeah.
One being a new market, one being a return to, two being return to market. So it's kind of exciting. I think it's cool. I think. The question I have is, you were in Atlanta for a while and you left. You were in Arizona for almost 30 years and you couldn't get a lease to a building. You couldn't get permits to build. My question is, why go back if it was such a struggle to stay? Like, what changes? Like, where does the change lie? Where does the, oh, now we'll build the arena?
Well, has the market grown? Like, maybe that's the question. Is, you know, we are in unprecedented times with the NHL. The demand for games, like, well, I think with the popularity of Four Nations kind of proved that, oh, there is definitely a market. And maybe they are checking those cities again just because the market has grown so much in that time.
It's true, though. It's very, I mean, absolutely. I think we're in an upward trajectory of the popularity of the game. My thing is, I guess, just being a skeptic, like, you were in both markets. You're in Atlanta and you're in Arizona, and it didn't work. You were in Arizona for almost 30 years. And I think it's a great place to be. It's just like, how does 2 years removed, what changed in 2 years where now they're willing to invest the money they weren't before?
Fair.
I like the idea of going to another team in Texas. I think the South is really where you want to start to expand. I think they did Vegas with success. Seattle has been really good.
Yeah.
Utah. So you have the Northwest. Now maybe the Southwest or the South. So that's why I think those three major cities makes perfect sense. My question is, I mean, what happens if you go back to Atlanta? Like, where you had a team there for quite a number of years. Is it going to translate to a huge popularity?
Fair enough.
Because popularity did fade or waned for them to want to move. But, you know, I digress.
All right. One more story came across my feed just a minute ago that I have to bring up. And I'm sorry to go back to Vancouver Canucks once again. But I did not hear this. Apparently it happened yesterday. This broke today. Was that Vancouver defenseman Tyler Myers has been fined $2,500 for basically sticking Edmonton Oilers Connor McDavid in the groin. Did you see this?
No, but I mean, you got to slow him down somehow. I mean, look, there. In no world does Tyler Myers and Connor McDavid go skate for like stride for stride. He's got to figure out something.
Fair enough.
Not saying the old graphite to the ball sack is what I would recommend, but you don't look. It's you did it. It's done. You pay the fine. You move forward. Don't do it again.
To be fair, that there was no penalty call on the play. It wasn't until after, Myers was called for delay of game at 9:07, but like, you know. It apparently happened a minute earlier, and no penalty. So I guess they found out after the fact.
Well, you know, in the intermission, they went in there and realized, well, McDavid's got some pretty blue plums there. We got to throw a fine out there. What's going on? Yeah, I mean, look, don't hurt people. People get hurt in this game all the time, unintentionally. Let's not intentionally spear a man in the nether regions to slow him down.
Well said. All right. Yeah. That about wraps it up for everything I had prepared. You got anything fun to talk about right now?
It's a fantastic week, and something we kind of talked about at the beginning. All the free agency, like I talked about, Kyle Connor, Kaprizov, McDavid signing a short deal. Just to make it, get it out of the way, dialed in for another cup run. They locked up Jake Walman for 7 years. They got Matthias Ekholm for another three. This team is dialed in, and he could have easily been like, well, Kaprizov got 17. I need at least 20. He went the other way. Let's him get the distraction out here. 2 years, $12 million, dialed in. Now that's put to the side, and it's in a day and age where people – are usually like getting all they can get, because look, I don't blame any player for getting the max money, because professional athletes have it's a short period of time. You're not there forever. So get as much as you can. I understand that. What he did was put team cup in front of his salary and took that out. Cause he's well deserving of more than $12 million. There's no one in the league who's going to be like, this guy is easily the top player in the league, hands down, you know, from a scoring perspective, a points perspective. Him, there's a few people in that category right now, and he's one of them. And for him to do what he did, I thought was a very classy move, because he could have easily went the other way and maxed it out, you know, 8 years, $18 million. He could have done that. So I thought that was really cool. Eichel wins a cup in Vegas. He, instead of waiting the whole year, he dials it in. Gets his contract done. So I feel like we're becoming an age where big free agents aren't going to hit the market. They're going to re-sign with their team. And we saw it last year,
yeah,
where there wasn't a lot of big tier one names hitting the market. Now, a lot of those names are already off the plate. So free agency this summer, right now, it's like Adrian Kempe is the biggest name. Odds are he's going to re-sign in L.A. They're going to have the money. He's going to get like $10 million a year. The guy scores 35 goals, 40 goals. He's going to get paid. Let's see what happens with Panarin in New York. You know, we'll see. But like the big tier one guys are all gone already. There's no you know, the excitement of free agency on that Saturday when you're, or Friday, whenever it kicks off, like it's not there now. Like it's already, the teams are already set.
Yeah.
You may see some trades, but you know, everything is really just kind of setting themselves up so it's not a distraction.
Fair enough.
We'll see. We'll see. I mean, I was excited about free agency. Now it's like four of the like best players already signed with their teams, which incentivizes those teams as well because they're able to make a little bit of a better deal. Because I believe with the new way it's structured, when you re-sign with a team, you can go to 8 years, where if it's a new team, it's only seven. So that term comes into play. And I think a lot of these guys are just going to be, you know, again, getting if you're looking to get max dollar, max value, played in the market, you know the market, you know the familiarity, and, you know, you want to stick with that team and stick with that franchise. And, you know, it's a little bit of an incentive to do so.
Makes sense. I mean, I think it's also like a lot of these players now seem to be wanting to build something at their, you know, wherever they are. A lot of, you know, unless, yeah. I mean, we have seen some examples of players who are unhappy where they are and want to move. But a large majority, I think, and it's very interesting to me, like, no, I want to stay here and I want to build something. I'll give them another chance, you know, or I think we're on the right track and I want to be here for it. So it's really kind of refreshing to see, not like people just jumping around like crazy, you know, at least not as much.
No, agreed. And I think that's really cool. I think that's for multiple reasons, like you said, and also from the fan perspective, if there's players that really fans that really like certain players and want them to see their, you know, be a part of that, seeing their success, like you got to be there. You can't, you know, can't leave every 3 years, you know.
Fair enough.
So it's nice. Yeah. It's nice. It's cool because when you spend $280 on jersey, you like to wear it more than 2 weeks. You know, I'm just saying. You know, it ain't the cheap B jersey. You get the Fanatics 229 on Fanatics.com. You want to wear it. You know, you don't want to buy it and then the guy signs on their team in 2 weeks. It's no good.
God, Lord. All right.
I'm not speaking from personal annoyance. I'm just saying it happens. And I know there's a jersey thing in there where if you're the thing, you can return it and get another one. I get that, but, you know, I digress. Jake Etzel, guy digress.
Oh my God.
Just to buy a Pittsburgh jersey to see him go to Carolina. Just saying.
All right. That about anything else? Final thoughts for the people, Ant?
Buy blank jerseys and you'll never be disappointed because the franchises – players move faster than franchises.
Oh, God.
You'd be locked in. Unless you put an Arizona Clayton Keller jersey, you're okay.
That about wraps it up for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you right here back for more Drive to Ants Hockey.